Recent events have imposed upon the patriotic people of this country a responsibility and a duty greater than that of any since the Civil War.
The great fundamental issue now before our people can be stated is, are the American people fit to govern themselves, to rule themselves, to control themselves?
You're listening to the History Capsule Podcast, historical newscast, period music, and the sounds of history.
World News Today.
Hello, MPIR fans. This is Clyde J. Gale with a brief reminder. These shows are made possible through your donations. MPIR is listener supported. If you haven't sent a donation in yet, please visit www.mpir-otr.com. That's www.mpir-otr.com. Please, a one-time donation of any amount via PayPal would be greatly appreciated. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
This is Jack Bell speaking. During the next quarter hour, it's my pleasure to introduce three distinguished Americans in a discussion of one of the most challenging situations ever to beset our nation, a problem affecting every one of us, important to you and your way of life. I mean the menace of communist infiltration by word and thought and deed into the ideals of America. What is being done to combat communism in America? What are we doing to refute their propaganda? What answers do we have for Moscow's falsehoods? What can we do to revitalize an interest in our American heritage? Here to answer these questions are three prominent Americans: the Honorable Tom C. Clark, Attorney General of the United States; the Honorable Joseph C. Grew, former Ambassador to Japan; and James F. O'Neill, National Commander of the American Legion. As we search out the answers to these perplexing problems, let me address the first question to the Attorney General of the United States. Mr. Clark, you have introduced a program for youth opportunity in the nation. Will you tell us about it, General?
Well, Jack, you and I, being Texans together, fully realize that the future of America and of the world is in the hands of our youths of today. No American boy or girl is unimportant to this nation's welfare. The communists know, as did Hitler, that if they get the children today, they will have the nation of tomorrow. A youth opportunity program is designed for the happy, wholesome, healthy growth of all children. Every community in our land can have a program of its own through which the spirit of good sportsmanship and fair play is developed. Such a program has a twofold purpose. First, it provides worthwhile things for youth to do, keeping his hands and his mind occupied so that he will not have time to find any incentive to run afoul of the law. Second, by participating in healthy, wholesome pastimes, he will be so imbued with the spirit of our American way of life that he will naturally shun wicked ideologies, such as communism. Mr. Bell, we all recognize, and we recognize it most clearly, I think, that the home, the school, and the church play the major role in the growth and the development of our youth. A recreational program for teenagers merely implements the work of these three great institutions. I do hope that every locality in our glorious nation will create a constructive program for our youth opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. Certainly, there is no better investment than in the welfare of our youth. And while on that subject, I'd like to direct a question to Commander O'Neill. Commander, the American Legion has been active in these fields. Exactly what are your programs? What are they intended to accomplish? And how do they tie in with those advanced by General Clark?
Mr. Bell, we concur with the Attorney General. A healthy youngster will make a healthy American. 1 million boys are enrolled in our junior baseball program in 1948. This endeavor has been in operation since 1926. And during that time, more than 10 million youngsters, all under 17, have taken part. We have two other youth participation programs which have attracted nationwide attention. The oratorical contest. 256,000 boys and girls competed last year discussing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And Boys State, in which 20,000 youngsters learn the art of government by electing their own governors and other officials in yearly encampments.
Thank you, Commander O'Neill. We have now covered the matter of warding off foreign influences which would infiltrate our youth ranks. Before we move into the discussion of the dangers of infiltration into our adult class, let's go back for a moment. Mr. Grew, you are a gentleman schooled in the importance of a strong and undivided nation. A veteran in our foreign service, you are ambassador to Japan at the time of the vicious attack at Pearl Harbor. Mr. Grew, how grave do you consider the communist menace on our domestic scene today?
Well, Mr. Bell, I gather that you want me to use my experience and observation abroad as a sort of yardstick to measure what is happening at home. We'd better use our own measuring rods. I have complete faith in the ultimate wisdom of the American people and in their determination and ability to control subversive elements within our gates, because our people and our institutions and our thinking are fundamentally healthy and sound. We weathered a great many serious crises during our comparatively short existence, and I personally have no doubt whatever we shall successfully cope with whatever troubles may face us in future. But only if, and this is a great big if, only if we keep awake. The majority of our people went to sleep in the years before Pearl Harbor. Many of our people are asleep today, refusing to recognize the fact that dangerous termites are constantly busy in their underground efforts to destroy the very foundations of our democratic way of life. Their activities must be effectively met and effectively dealt with. Now, to answer your question, how serious do I consider the situation in our country? I consider it potentially very serious. Unless our people keep wide awake, it can become actively serious. The American Legion, in close cooperation with the Department of Justice, is doing a splendidly constructive and patriotic job in publicly fighting subversion. This is a time to call a spade, openly and publicly, and awaken our people to the danger.
Thank you, Mr. Grew. Too few of us are aware of the seriousness of the situation, and your thoughts are most enlightening. Mr. Attorney General, you're the originator of a novel idea, the Freedom Train. This train has been touring the country for several months, bringing into the communities of America the priceless documents which record the birth of America and launch the noblest experiment conceived by mankind. General Clark, what has been the effect of the Freedom Train? Can you estimate its influence in stimulating a greater appreciation of American ideals?
Jack, I would say the influence of the Freedom Train has been most inspiring. Of course, you can't add it up like you would a column of figures. We see thousands upon thousands of people, however, waiting for hours in the rain and the cold and the heat to see America's historic documents. We see thousands of citizens throughout the United States asking beseechingly to have it come to their cities. We know that already 1.25 million of Americans have visited this train. You just can't measure by words an influence like that. The Freedom Train is a part, an answer to the cry for liberty that is heard all over the world today. While the lights of freedom are again being dimmed in Europe, here on our soil, these precious instruments of our way of life continue to shine. The American people feel that, and they are responding to it. The Freedom Train makes it possible for its visitors to worship at the shrine of liberty at an hour when liberty is under attack. In addition to the 1.25 million men, women, and children who have visited the shrine on wheels, more than 10 million have participated in associated ceremonies in the various cities where the train is built. Yes, Mr. Bell, the train has been an instrument by which millions of our people have rededicated themselves to Americanism, freedom's savior.
Mr. Grew, your name enjoys prominence in every American home today. In your work, you have had greater opportunities than most men to observe and study the strength of Americanism from afar. From your experiences, will you tell us what you believe the best method of combating the threat of communism, which you described a few minutes ago?
Several methods, Mr. Bell, which we might group under three headings. First, I said that the dangerous activities of termites must be effectively met and effectively dealt with. Mr. Clark's own efficient organization and his far-flung sentinels will attend to the law enforcement side of it. Second, our people must be told and must regard it as a duty of good citizenship to understand the methods by which these termites work. Let's remember that we don't like cancer any more than we like these foreign ideologies when they aim to disrupt our institutions and our democracy, but we're constantly studying cancer in order to be able to control it. We must thoroughly study subversive movements, too. Let's get these things right out in the open. They work in the dark, let us work in the light. But in conducting that work, let's be mighty careful not to indulge in mere witch hunts. The sacred rights of free thought, free speech, and a free press must be scrupulously defended and preserved. Third, we must prove in fact to ourselves and to others that our American system is superior to any other system ever invented. That's the best argument I know of to combat the termites and all their works.
Thank you, Mr. Grew. Now, Commander O'Neill, I understand the American Legion has an innovation in the way of advancing Americanism, or conversely, repelling communism and similar alien philosophies. Will you explain that program, please?
Yes, Mr. Bell. We believe that if democracy can't stand the test of comparison with communism, it doesn't deserve to prevail. But we want to make sure that the test is applied fairly. We have prepared freedom booklets, pamphlets for distribution to millions of Americans, emphasizing the blessings of America, giving data to the recipients to enable them to offset communist propaganda, insinuations, and just plain lies. Our American people must know what makes America tick. We intend to arm them with that type of information. These booklets are prepared for distribution on a monthly basis. They will be sent into the homes of the people in America every 30 days. And it will keep abreast of the times. It will enable them to keep abreast of the times, too, and to be in a position to refute this communist deceit, this communist propaganda and fraud, which is now being promoted in this country. Mr. Attorney General, what do you think of this program?
Mr. Commander, I strongly commend the American Legion's educational program and you for putting it into effect. It will give all Americans a better understanding of the basic structure of our government. And now, Commander O'Neill, when will this American Legion Freedom Booklet campaign start? And how many booklets will be distributed?
Well, Mr. Attorney General, this program will start within 4 weeks. It will continue for at least 12 months. More than 20 million will be distributed. Eventually, we hope to be able to make these available for 10 million homes each month. And what is your opinion, Mr. Grew?
Commander O'Neill, I wholeheartedly endorse this program. It's all a matter of education. Bring these truths into the homes, the churches, the schools. The facts will speak for themselves once the people thoroughly understand them. Remember that American thinking is fundamentally sound. In carrying out this enlightened educational program, the American Legion can accomplish a great patriotic job and will earn the deep appreciation of a grateful nation.
Commander O'Neill, will you tell us about the subscription procedure?
Well, Mr. Bell, the subscription plan will enable any person in America to participate. If anyone is interested, they may contact our headquarters at 77737 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, for details. Many industrial leaders and labor unions are ordering these pamphlets for their respective employees and members of their organizations.
Thank you, Commander O'Neill. You've just heard three distinguished Americans in a discussion of steps being taken in America today to combat the communist infiltration of American institutions and the measures underway to revitalize an interest in our American heritage. Appearing on the program were Attorney General Tom C. Clark, former Ambassador to Japan, Joseph C. Grew, and James F. O'Neill, National Commander of the American Legion. This is Jack Bell speaking. This transcribed program was presented under the auspices of the American Legion, which urges your decision now to count your dividends from democracy.